And so here we are at the beginning of a new year. And as you know, we are studying Luke, not John. It is the third gospel, third of the fourth gospels found in the New Testament. Luke, along with Matthew and Mark, are also known as the synoptic gospels, which simply means being able to be seen together. Because these gospels can be seen together because they share many of the same accounts of Jesus' ministry. And although Luke used Mark and Matthew as references, his gospel is the longest and it is the fullest in the New Testament. And so when we combine Luke's gospel along with the book of Acts, which he also wrote, Luke becomes the largest contributor to the New Testament. And I bet all of us, or a lot of us, thought it was Paul, right?
Yeah.
Within this full gospel, there are numerous noteworthy verses to be found. But perhaps the best verse, which sums up the entire mission and focus of Jesus' ministry, is found in Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So whether you are a cradle Christian or you come this morning with doubts and questions, we're excited that you are here. And we pray that each week you will come with an open mind, an open heart, expecting to be transformed by the power of God's inspired word as presented in the Gospel of Luke. And now if you'll join with me in a prayer, please. Oh Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So what do we know about Luke, the gospel writer? Well, in studying Acts, and if you know the we text, we know that he was a friend and a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. From Paul's letter to the Colossians, we learn that Luke was a physician. Reading from Colossians 4, verse 14, Paul writes, Epaphras, who is one of you, and Luke, the beloved physician, greets you. Now, scholars use this same text to support the belief that Luke was a Gentile, since the Jews who were with Paul at the time of the writing of Colossians were mentioned separately in verses 10 and 11. As for when the gospel was written, scholars date the writing of Luke in the early 60s of the first century. During that time, all Christians faced many challenges, both politically and socially. The Jewish and Gentile Christians felt a lot of pressure from unbelievers, both Jewish and Gentile unbelievers. These early Christians also struggled amongst themselves to cross the ethnic barriers which existed between Jew and Gentile. They struggled at times to live in peace with each other and to embrace the reality that Jew and Gentile were equal members in God's household. With these struggles, it's not surprising then that we find throughout Luke's gospel, Jesus is seen healing and restoring all people. He restores men and women, Jew and Gentile, rich and poor, slave and free. Luke wanted his readers to learn that Jesus' compassion, Jesus' healing power, Jesus' salvation that he would offer on the cross was available to all. Now, if you brought your Bibles, if you would turn to Luke chapter 1, we're going to hear directly from the writer why and how he wrote this gospel. It begins, "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things that you have been taught. Now that was from the ESV, the English Standard, the English Standard, very close with the NIV as well. And it's interesting to note in his introduction, Luke does not mention Jesus once. Instead, he mentions narratives of the things that have been accomplished among us. It is these things that he's referring to that refer to Jesus' ministry, his teaching, and his saving acts that he performed. These things also reference his death, his resurrection, the ascension, and the sending of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the total fulfillment of or the accomplishment of God's plan. Luke tells us that these narratives began with those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Now, what we need to understand is that these eyewitnesses, those who experienced firsthand Jesus's ministry, are the very ones who are the ministers of the word. These are not two different groups. These are the same. The eyewitnesses become the ministers of the word, because these first eyewitnesses will be the first witnesses to bring the truth of God's transforming power through the faith in Jesus to the world. And Luke, believing the truth of the eyewitnesses he had heard, had been transformed himself by the truth that they presented. And he became a second generation witness himself. He tells us that it is what seemed good to him. Expressed another way, he thought it was best that there should be a full, authentic, and accurate account of Jesus' ministry. And so Luke completed his own investigation. Not because he thought the earlier work was insufficient. It had worked, it had transformed him. But he wanted to follow up meticulously every account until he was completely satisfied that what he wrote down was truth and it was trustworthy. And because of Luke's extensive and in-depth research, his gospel is the fullest in the New Testament, and it includes events and parables not recorded in the other Gospels. For instance, the announcement of John the Baptist's birth to Zechariah, the angelic appearance to Mary, and the virgin birth of Jesus. The parable of the Good Samaritan highlighting compassion for outsiders. The parable of the prodigal son teaching about forgiveness and repentance. The thief crucified on the cross with Jesus, who asked to be remembered in paradise. The ascension of Jesus into heaven. And the encounter with Jesus on the Emmaus Road by his two disciples after his resurrection. And not only is Luke's work very thorough, he calls it an orderly account. Now, when we hear orderly, we may think chronologically. But what Luke means is it is written so that the reader, specifically Theophilus, may have, or is the NIV, I like the NIV translation here, that may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught, that you may know the certainty. Those two words, knowing and certainty. Now, we don't know much about Theophilus, except that he was a man with social standing, and we do that, we get that reference because of the way Luke addressed him, most excellent Theophilus. We don't know where he stands in relation to the Christian faith, but we are told He's been taught. He's heard it. And perhaps, having come out of a pagan religion himself and still living in a pagan society, Theophilus needed reassurance concerning his faith. And so, as Michael Wilcock writes, Luke is saying to Theophilus, "My gospel will offer you certainty. Read the words I have written, and you will see the facts on which Christianity is based. You will find something firm and solid and absolutely trustworthy, just as we sang today, a sure foundation. And Theophilus, you will know, you will have a deep, thorough knowledge of the gospel, not only in your mind, but in your heart, by reading and meditating on the plain facts of history and the story of Jesus set out in my gospel. That is where you may come to know the basic certainties of life." And I would say that if that's what Luke wrote and was saying to Theophilus, we can easily go back into that scripture, and we may not be addressed as most excellent, but we can put our name right there. And Luke has written this gospel for each one of us. You are not here by accident. God has planned for you to be here and planned for me to be here. And he's planned for us to study this gospel. And this is what Luke is saying to each one of us as we begin our study. Read and meditate on this gospel. Allow the story of Jesus. We may think we know them all, but we don't. Read it again. Allow that story, his story, that Luke has so meticulously. Can't you see him going around? Did you know Jesus? What did you see Jesus do? Tell me about Jesus. Do you want to know about Jesus, ladies? Luke's given it to us right here. So read. He's meticulously presented it. And allow his gospel to penetrate not just the mind, not just so that we know more, but that we have him in our heart. We have him in our heart. This year, I'm going to tell it, let's not just read the scripture to answer the questions. Let us be intentional in our study by praying before we read, by asking God to reveal new truths to us so that we will know the certainty of the things we have been taught in the past, and that we will have the sure knowledge of the truth of Christianity, and that we will become witnesses to the truth of the gospel to the next generation. So I want to close. I found that there was, in the Book of Common Prayer, there's a prayer for St. Luke, or a prayer of St. Luke's. And so I want to close with that prayer, and then we'll dismiss to our small groups. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, you called your servant Luke to be an evangelist and a physician of the soul. Grant that by the wholesome medicine of the doctrine he taught, all the diseases of our souls may be healed through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Hope you all have a wonderful morning.